the only way I can take a vacation.
Well, good for you. One of us needs to
take a vacation. And go across the track. Where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks. Where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wise. Yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, past the mills, past the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Scaredy Cats. I'm one of your hosts, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my sister, Mindy.
Hi, guys.
We're going to be reviewing the brand new movie, Halloween Kills.
If you have not seen this movie yet, it's in theaters. It's on Peacock. All you have to do is upgrade for $5, and they got you. You can watch the movie. If not, do not listen to this episode yet, unless you want spoilers.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge spoiler alert.
Yeah, like, it's really, really new, guys. Like, this came out on Friday. Well, technically Thursday at midnight. So, we're not going to lie to you guys. There's going to be a lot of spoilers in this episode, but let's go on with the plugs first.
Yep, make sure to listen to the Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday and now Saturday. Wednesday after Dynamite for the regular Dirt Sheet Dudes program, and then Saturday for the Halloween Hangout. And make sure to check us out. Unscripted Wrestling, 6:30 p.m., and Unscripted Unlimited on Saturday for 7 or 8, 6, 7, 8, usually around that time for a second show. And then, of course, here at 3 p.m. for Scaredy Cats.
Yep.
So we got a lot to get into.
Yes, we do.
But brand new movie, Mindy. Jamie Lee Curtis returns. We got a lot going on. We got the mother, the granddaughter, Tommy Doyle's here.
And we touched a little bit on the Halloween that came out before this. And I actually found out that it was signed up for a trilogy. And because of COVID happening, they had to skip a year for it coming out, even though they filmed it one by one by one. So it took a really long time for this movie to get in theaters and to get on Peacock. So the only thing I will say the difference between the two is the first one, has more action. More action, more suspenseful. This one is more brutal killing.
Yeah.
And me and Daniel, we're a fan of slaying and whatnot in slasher movies and everything else, but we were looking in the eye and tell you straight out, like, that's not our cup of tea. When we were watching this last night, guys, we even looked at each other and we're like, wow, they're taking this really far.
Yeah, I thought it really, to me, and I've seen a lot of critics kind of agree with my assessment of it. I don't like the story as much as I liked in the first one.
I thought
the story and the overall plot and the screenplay and the dialogue and all that were a little bit better. But I think it definitely upped up the gore, the kills, the coolness. It kind of doubled down on the horror aspect.
They sacrificed.
Yeah.
I don't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, keep going.
But it was like they sacrifice one for the other.
Yeah.
And I didn't really appreciate that because they had a really good story going on and everything. Why did they have to switch it to Dr. Sumerian being the bad guy and him going after the one deputy or whatever from the first one? And, like, that was just – it was so far off. Like, if you – watch this movie and you've never seen the original Halloween, you're going to be lost.
Yeah, I mean, it calls back to it a lot, and I think this might have been a case of a little too much plot stuffage a little bit. I feel like they tried to give a lot of backstories. I wasn't a huge fan of the added shit with Tommy, especially because the build-up, to me, it didn't really, amount to too much. Yeah.
That's the only problem. I love Tommy Doyle. I love the character. I love Anthony Michael Hall. He's great. But he was too much of like a Vin Diesel or a Nick Cage kind of character where that's not him.
Yeah.
He doesn't normally act that way in movies. And a lot of people are going to say, oh, well, it's a movie. He's not supposed to act like himself. I get that. I really do. But, like, it didn't work. They made him switch his personalities, and it didn't work.
And to me, it, like, could have worked, but it's like if you're building him up as this big badass, and they kind of, like, hint to him not really know what he's doing, too, but you can't have him get killed in a montage like that, and it really not mean shit. And
exactly.
It happened with a bunch of other people.
That was too much. Like, he should have went out in the blaze of glory.
Yeah. Like, it just, the ending, really, the third act did not do anything for me. I did not find it that good. Some of the stuff in the middle, I think, was pretty good. And a lot of the kills, I mean, the kills were...
Oh, the kills are brilliant.
That's the reason to watch this thing, pretty much.
But you guys know that me and Daniel are a enormous fan of good kills. And I am also an enormous fan of using your environment to kill.
Yeah.
And if there's, I mean, you can argue with me till the cows come home, Daniel, about Jason and Michael and da-da-da-da-da. But Michael uses a lot more of his environment than anybody else.
Yeah.
Like, if he, like, sees a chain, he thinks, oh, well, I can string this around someone's neck. But he sees a hook, and he's like, well, I can do it to the, oh, wait, no, let's be more creative and do it through the chin. Like, he's just, he has the mind of a six-year-old. And that's what they try to get past a lot.
Yeah.
Is that when he was six and he had a psychotic break, he did not recover from that. That's why he doesn't speak. Because he literally forgot to. Because I don't know if you guys are going to go on a little mini psychology lesson here. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all scaredy cats know this. But if a child or even an adult starts to just not speak at all, just doesn't make a sound, and they do it for more than like 6 months, their body automatically forgets what to do. And they can't talk.
Yeah.
So like, that's basically what happened with Michael. That's why he wasn't able to express that he wasn't really after Lori.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those movies that there's a lot of kills in it. I don't like the way the kills were paced out, though.
No, it was like bam, 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 bam.
And I feel like you have like 30, 40 minutes where nothing's happening, and then you kill 15 people at once. And it's like, oh, shit. Like, there was some – and they built up a lot of cool side characters that I would love to see in the third one, you know, when they wrap all this up. And everyone's pretty much gone except for,
Lindsay
and Jamie Lee Curtis and that other guy, the cop, yeah. But, her, the granddaughter, and the cop, but that's about it. And the cop's like, that side story was another one that's like, it doesn't need to be here. What the fuck?
Like, that was so left field.
And it didn't make sense because he never came to the hospital. So him, he's coming for me, and her, she's coming for me. It never meant anything because he never came for either of them. He killed their granddaughter instead, and she wasn't even there.
Well, I came to...
I mean, her daughter, my bad.
I came to a point, though, where she was going to go after them, but then she took his mask. So she pissed him right off. That's what happened there.
Yeah.
You don't screw with somebody like Michael Myers. You just don't. And she did. So, I mean, unfortunately, because of that, she paid the price. That's why, like, Jamie Lee Curtis always taught her, like, fight with your fists, not with your mouth.
Yeah.
And she was right at the end because that's all she did was fight with her mouth. And then she got killed at the very end. So, I mean, I was a little upset, but I would have been more upset had it been Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
Like I was told.
Yeah.
So,
But and then she threw that swerve out pretty good.
Yeah, she really did, man. Jamie Lee Curtis, hats off to you, man. I mean, you had me fooled.
But it wasn't worth the shitty character development to me. Because Judy Greer was set up to be the badass. And, like, I get it to build up her granddaughter instead. But she had some cool moments in this franchise so far in these two movies. It didn't really do her character justice or anything. You know, she lost her husband a night before. Now she's dead, and it's... I don't know. It's just like I was a lot more excited. I was more excited for the next one off the first one than I was off this one.
Yeah. I will have to say the third one, guys, this is just a theory. I have a feeling that what Lori was going to teach her daughter as far as self-defense and going after Michael, she's going to teach it to the granddaughter.
Yeah.
And her and the granddaughter are going to suit up, pretty much, and go ham. That's what I think is going to happen. And I think that's a good story arc. I really do. Do I think the mom had a dime? No. She was just an extra kill. She was just, like, last minute, get her out of the way. You agree?
I completely agree. I just, the plot just didn't do it for me on this one. I didn't want to shit on it as much as I am. But to me, it's a kill movie. And I hate to put it in that because I think this franchise has a lot of good plots in it. I just think this was a bit overstuffed. There was a bit too much here.
It's a Halloween kill. And we understand that, guys. We know that. But, I mean, I counted. And there was at least 25 to 30, because I lost track.
Yeah.
There's at least 25 to 30 people that were killed in this movie. No, guys, I have watched, and he can attest for this, so far I have watched 600 horror movies.
Damn.
And this is the only one that had killed multiple people before the 10-minute mark.
Yeah.
Before the 10-minute mark, he'd already gotten, like, four people, and I said, what the hell?
Yeah, he took that squad of firemen out pretty quick. He's a bad motherfucker, and it was...
Oh, so it was more than four.
Yeah,
right?
It was, like, 10 people.
Yeah, it was, like, 10 people.
And everything about it, and to me, like, I can't criticize it for that, because that's the one thing that the movie does well.
Yeah,
the kills are great, and everything about that, the horror, the scares, it makes it a lot more, the first one felt a little too action movie-ish for me, and I guess you could say this one is too, because there is a lot of action going on, but to me, the horror roots felt a little more appropriate here, and like
absolutely.
Even with like Little John and Big John, the gay couple that I found pretty amusing.
Guys, it was like Marco Polo.
Yeah, Big John.
Like,
Little John.
They were walking to the house, and he's like, Big John? Little John?
Little John.
Big John? Little John? I'm like, that's like, and then they're like, that even cleared, Big John. He's a liver cleared, Little John. Like, oh my goodness.
But I like with the old dude with gray hair when he was like, Michael, you've come home. And then Michael stabs him real quick. That was a pretty powerful scene.
That was, because they knew who he was.
Yeah. But it Michael's intentions just never felt that clear for me here. Like, I know he wanted to go home, but did you want the cop? Did you want
know.
What did he want?
I don't know, Daniel. I still have no clue. I mean, honestly, I've watched all the movies back to back to back. I've watched the new ones. I've watched the zombie ones. They don't ever really say. I mean,
what the fuck does this guy want?
Especially since they took away the fact that Lori is his sister.
Yeah, that's not even a thing anymore.
That's not even a thing. So that's really, really confusing.
Well, maybe Blumhouse will tell us in the third one because this, like, it had sequel bait all over it. And
very open-ended.
And it made a profit in the pandemic. It made $55 million so far.
And that's only so
budget.
Far, guys. It came out, what, Thursday night at midnight?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's on a streaming service, which is pretty cool that it's doing numbers. It's on a streaming service. That's how I watched it. So the fact that it's still making money in the theaters when you can, if you're a subscribed member to Peacock, you can watch it. That's a pretty big cliff.
And not to mention, guys, Peacock Premium is only $5.
Yeah.
So for them to be making that much money at the box office, that's good.
Yeah. And I always recommend to see it in theaters. I mean, with the pandemic and with everything, if you have the streaming services, I do not blame you. I did the same thing.
Yeah.
Watch it on there. But
I also was a little under the weather, so
yeah,
we decided to skip on the theaters this time.
But it is cool that it's making money and we'll see another one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what was your top kill?
Oh, my gosh, there was so many.
Yeah.
God. I mean, oh, you guys got to give me a second. I'm getting a headache here. What the hell? I don't know. You go.
I will probably say either I'd have to go the girl's boyfriend, the one that kind of cheated. I liked his character arc as a whole, too, from the first movie, and how he's fucking with his dad, and he's trying to be the big man and catch Michael and all that shit, and then he fucks his kid up on the staircase. He breaks his head through. He pops him up. He pops him down. He pops him to the side.
Yes.
He pops him all over. And then he, like, walks towards him to the end. The kid's already dying. She looks at him like, don't leave him be, and then Michael's like, and he fucking snaps his neck. I thought that was pretty cool. There was a couple, like, scenes, like the one where he put the saw in the dude's face. The guy
was
going at
him. Oh, come on!
You can use it. There's so many, though. But, yeah, those couple, I think, were badass.
They were. Jesus. Michael, though, is just not somebody who just uses the regular old butcher knife. I mean, he will, but he's gotten very, very creative.
Yeah.
Over the years, like, too creative, scary creative.
Way too.
And, like, it's awesome, but I don't know. My favorite kill would have to be the one that he just mentioned, but now I gotta pick out a different one. So, my second favorite kill would had to have been when he took out the gang of people.
Yeah, the doctor and the nurse and shit. I agree.
Yeah, when they thought that they got him.
Oh, okay.
They had the mob around him and everything, and they
thought
that they won, and then he just, like, started fighting back and took out, like, 20 of them.
Yeah, if we killed Tommy.
Tommy was unfortunately a group death, which I feel bad.
Yeah, that's my only complaint, that shouldn't have been. It should have been through the amount, because that kid had, like, at least 40 minutes worth of scenes. You got to build up to some kid, man. Well, he was a kid when we first saw him. But the grown man now, he was in the movie a lot. And that whole side plot about chasing the fucking escapee and the guy killing himself, it's like, what the fuck was that even there for? And like, you think they're going to have this big fight?
They needed something for action. They needed something for Hollywood.
It was just stupid.
It was, but sometimes Hollywood will put in filler for...
Yeah, that's the definition of what
movies.
That was. That was filler. And, like, you think he's going to have this big kerfuffle with Michael. They beat the shit out of him a bit. She stabs him in the shoulder and then fucking walks away. And then they're like, all right, we got him. If he's down, bash that motherfucker brain down. Don't fucking just hang out there. It's like, oh, let's go bird watching. And dude, he's right there. Smash his fucking head and make sure he's dead and he's not getting up.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, he's had his head smashed before. The
one
not
this timeline.
Thing that has never happened to him in any timeline that they should have done is decapitation.
Yeah.
Just take his head off.
Yeah. And
zombies can't survive without their head. Come on, people.
I will like, and I don't know if the writers are doing this on purpose because I don't know if they're smart enough, but I do like how they kind of play in how Tommy still is kind of a kid, and you have all these guns and weapons, and he's still choosing
he's
a wooden baseball bat. Yeah.
He's stuck in the past like Laurie is.
Huckleberry's is his secret to beating Michael, a wooden baseball bat, which evidently
takes
his brain
off. I gotta give it to him. He had to go from being a pussy little kid to being a man.
Yeah. He did step up a little bit.
And he did do pretty good.
He got his head
bashed. Lindsay, I think, did better.
Yeah.
And her part, I didn't like that they took out the Dr. Loomis' secretary.
Yeah.
I think they should have just left her alone. But it is what it is.
Yeah, Yeah, there was a lot of badass moments, though.
Yeah.
My favorite moments are when Judy Greer, the granddaughter, or Jamie Lee Curtis looks cool as fuck. Those are my favorite moments.
Yeah, they were kind of badass.
Yeah, whenever they say something cool, it's totally believable. That only thing I liked about that hotel scene is when Jamie realizes it's not him, and she's looking at her, and she's giving her confused. She's like, it's not him, it's not him. And she's like, you fucking cheap, it's not him. And then she fucking, like, hurts her stitches. Like, that was, like,
the only cool part of that.
Yeah. That was a cool part of the hospital scene.
Yeah.
That was, and that I didn't like that scene, but her part in it, like, you know, a good actress. Yeah. When you got a good actress, she can usually make anything work. And an actress like Jamie Lee Curtis, you can put her in shit, and just her reactions and the way she said, it's not him. It's not fucking him. Like, it still seemed cool, and it still got me into it, even though the rest of it, it's like, this is stupid. But I liked her acting throughout the whole thing. She's just so badass. I like the character she's playing now as the grizzled vet, the one that knows Michael's got to go down, and she's this badass. I think she was too underused in this movie. We did not see a lot of her, mostly in a hospital bed and shit. We didn't really see her fight him.
Because she was, like, playing Dear Life.
Yeah, she was hurt. So you didn't really see her fighting him as much as you did in the first one. But I like her. Her role could have been bigger, but I like her portrayal. Jamie Lee Curtis knows how to play the character at this point.
I mean, guys, let's think about it. I ran across this thing on Facebook the other night. Jamie Lee Curtis, for the past six fucking decades, has played Laurie Strode.
That's nuts.
I mean, maybe. I'm not saying, like, every...
Yeah, decade's, like, 12 years.
I'm not saying, like, every... No, decade's 10.
10.
I'm not saying that it was consistent, like, movie after movie after movie, but they came out with one every decade.
Yeah. I like Lonnie. Lonnie the kid.
The
boyfriend's dad, too. I liked it when he brought it. He's like, oh, I brought my goddamn son to the belly of the beast. It's just the way he said it. And he was a funny, and he was a cool death shot, too. You didn't see him get killed, but you saw his body in the attic crawl, the space.
Yeah, that was nice. I mean, I know that was a dummy, but that was nice.
And Michael, like, I just love that they're keeping that with Michael, a character trait of he likes to kill people and put them in fun spots.
you gotta remember, child.
Yeah.
He thinks like a child. So, of course, he's going to leave people hanging outdoors with knives in them and everything else because he is legit having fun.
And even killing the because that was one of the deaths I thought you were going to bring up when he killed up the doctor and the nurse and, like, kind of the B team of people that were going at him.
Yeah.
And the one doctor, that was my favorite line when the nurse was like, I am a doctor and my husband is a nurse and we are here to battle or some shit like that. But, and he stabbed the nurse boyfriend right in the nose and it went through the eye out the
eye. Yeah, that was nice. Cool. I should have put that as my favorite. That was nice.
But he stacked them on along with, or no, he killed the one little kid, took his mask, put it on her, and he had him on the little merry-go-round thing.
I will have to say, Michael is very strategical but also juvenile when it comes to the way that he likes to pose his victims.
Yeah.
That's just the way I feel. Because normally you don't do that.
Yeah.
You don't really see that from the average...
Only him and a couple of
serial killer.
Killers do it. I won't mention the other one that does it because we'll save his time for Halloween, but Michael is known for that.
Absolutely. He's known for that, and he's known for using his environment to his advantage.
Absolutely.
Like, if he sees a butcher knife, but he sees a hook with, like, a metal chain, he's going to go for the hook with the metal chain because if you start running away from him and he doesn't, like, stab you quick enough, he ain't going to be able to get you. With the chain and the hook, he can just throw it with a fishing rod.
That's true. That's very true.
So he can take care of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's really scary.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, that's what scares me the most about Michael Myers, is that he's a kid who just was brought, like, unfortunately, he was just born evil.
He was.
Because there are some kids, regardless of their upbringing or not, you guys can argue with me all you want, but there are some kids that are just born bad. They don't have good intentions. And then once they get to be a little bit older, 5 or 6, they start to do things.
Yeah.
And that's around the time that he killed his sister and he went away for 40 years. But, like, he still didn't get a chance to do everything he wanted to do. That's why I think he keeps on turning head and filled.
Yeah.
Because it's always been hinted, more so in the Rob Zombie movies, but it's always been hinted that Michael was an outcast.
Yeah.
That he was picked on and everything. So a lot of the people that he's going after now are people that picked on him, too.
Yeah.
I've noticed. So I think part of it may be revenge. You never know.
I 100% agree. What did you think about seeing him without the mask? That was weird. His face all burnt up was kind of cool looking. I like the burnt mask, too.
Yeah, I did. I mean, we already got to see his face in the first one for like a second.
Yeah.
But it was still there. This one was definitely more gory effects makeup, I would say.
Yeah, I'd agree. All right, man. How many knives or William Shatner masks are you gonna give this out of 10?
We're going to give it 8 Williams. Because the one thing that it did better than the first one is that it wasn't really an action movie. It was more of a horror movie.
I agree. I'm going 7.5, though. I think it was almost quite there. I think the third one, it might be able to knock it out of the head. Some problems I had with the ending and the characters themselves, but I did enjoy the movie for what it was.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, guys. Well, we will not see you next week, because next week is the Hummer's birthday. But we will be having something come out on Halloween. So, bye, guys.
Have a good one, everybody.